John's Gospel, remain standing and we'll honor God's Word together. John's Gospel, chapter 19, beginning at verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, Jesus said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." And a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's pause there and pray. Gracious God, we're thankful that by your Spirit you nourish us. We confess that we cannot live by bread, by human food alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our mind, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. All right, now you hear that scripture reading. That's the cross. That's the death of Jesus. I want to remind you, you are not a week early. This still is Easter. This still is Easter. It's the day of the resurrection. It's the day of new life. It's the day of joy and power and hope. And it's just to get to that place, to get to that place of joy, to get to that place of hope and of life, we have to know how we got here. Right? Sometimes you watch a movie and they have that scroll at the beginning and you've got to read three or four or five sentences and it kind of orients you to where the story begins. We've got to know how we got here. So I want to jump back just a couple of days from Easter, just a couple of days back to the cross. Just a few days back to the cross. I really want to go back a little further to creation. That's a lot back further. Don't worry, we won't be here all day. I'll make it as quick as possible. Creation, the story of creation is this, friends. We had it all. God created all that we know, all that we remember out of His great love for us. From nothing, God created for His glory and for your good. Remember that. For His glory and for your good, everything was made. We had it all. But look around, friends. Look around. We had it all. There's a reason we say that in past tense. We had it all because everything we experience now falls short of its potential. Everything and everybody falls short. We had it all. And so we say we had it all and then we lost it all. It's a long way from Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the beauty of creation, to Genesis chapter 3, the story of the fall, that loss, that breach in the relationship with God, where our first parents, Adam and Eve, led us down a path no one should have wanted. And it's not simply an abstract breaking of the law, but it's a breach in a relationship. Not only our relationship with God, but our relationship with one another, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with all of creation. We had it all. But friends, there is a way forward for us. The story does not end there. We had it all and we lost it all. The story doesn't end there. There is a way forward, and that's why you're here at Easter. The way forward has a name, and his name is Jesus, the Son of God, made flesh, crucified in his death on a cross. We had it all, we lost it all, and he did it all. Friends, we wouldn't be here on Easter if we didn't believe he did it all. Jesus Christ did it all. Everything necessary to heal those broken relationships, our relationship with God, with one another, with ourselves, and with the world, everything that needed to be done was done by Jesus. That's why we take a look back at today's scripture from John's Gospel. That's why Jesus ends his life with this cry, "It is finished." It is finished. He did it all. Why does Jesus say, "It is finished"? He doesn't say, "It is finished," but because the sponge is empty, and he drank all the wine vinegar that was offered to him. That was common to give the wine vinegar to crucifixion victims to moisten their parched mouth, and maybe if they could get enough in to just take the edge off a little bit of the pain and the suffering they were experiencing. Jesus doesn't say it is finished because the sponge is empty. Jesus is not saying it is finished simply because he knows the end of his life is near. This isn't him turning and saying, I'm about to tap out. It's not simply my life is over. Jesus is fully aware of all that is transpiring around him and inside him. Jesus is fully aware. It's what sets him apart from others who were crucified on that day and on any other day. Jesus is not wailing or screaming or cursing. If you read the whole gospel account, all the four gospels, if you read them all, the account of the crucifixion, you see Jesus speaks with intentionality from the cross. He forgives those who have judged him and those who mock him and those ultimately who were responsible for executing him. He offers forgiveness. You see, in what I've read, he cares for the people he loves who were there present with him, his disciple John, his mother Mary. Never before has a crucifixion victim from the cross looked down and expressed care for the people left behind. Jesus says, hey, this is my son. You be the son. You take care of my mother like a son. And mother, you take care of this man like a son. He forgives. He cares. It's that distinctive difference why one centurion, the gospel tells us, one centurion, the chief of that execution detail, the centurion who likely supervised dozens, maybe hundreds of crucifixions, he looks at Jesus, he sees the way he behaves as he dies, and he comes to this conclusion, surely this man was the Son of God. Jesus is fully aware of the fruit of his actions, why he is, where he is. It is finished, he says. We know that Jesus Christ did it all. In the Greek language of the New Testament, it's recorded as one word, tetelestai, done, complete, whole. It's the word that you would hear as a servant had received an assignment and gone and completed it on behalf of his master. He comes back and says, tetelestai, it is done. What you've asked me to do has been completed. When the merchant reviews your account and accepts your payment and marks it paid in full, the debt is clear, tetelestai. That's the word. It is done. It is completed. When a priest would examine a lamb and find that on the lamb there were no flaws, it was a perfect offering ready for sacrifice, the priest would say, tetelestai, it is whole. It is perfect. And so think with me that after Jesus' betrayal, these horrid days of his life, after his betrayal, his arrest, after appearing before rigged trials, before religious courts and secular judges, after Jesus was scourged and beaten, mocked and stripped, worn down and worn out, he still says it. It is finished. I have done it all. Jesus did it all. Because you lost it all, he had to do it all. He is perfect. We are not. Our debt would still be open. He paid the debt in full. He finished all that his Father assigned for him to do. It is finished. He did it all. Now, it's easy for us to be confused because of time and distance on the calendar and because of our, well, let's be honest, our overinflated sense of who we are. It's easy for us to look at Jesus, at his life, and even in his death, and say with some admiration, he did a lot. And we'll come short of saying he did it all. We'll say he did a lot. Look at those miracles. Listen to that teaching. I could orient my life around his moral teaching. But it's easy to come just short and to leave Jesus simply with our admiration or our affection or our appreciation, as though Jesus was some other sage or writer or artist or influencer. We can say, wow, good work, Jesus. Thank you. And we can think that that's okay. He did a lot. We can say he did a lot because we've convinced ourselves that we've only lost a lot. We believe that the human condition, our human condition, only needs from Jesus a slight elevation, a slight improvement, a little polish here and there. And instead of thinking we lost it all, we think we lost a lot, or maybe even a little. But that's not the witness of the Bible. Friends, let's be honest. We think too highly of ourselves and too little of Jesus. Or said in the opposite way, we think too little of Jesus because we think too highly of ourselves. And because we think we've only lost a lot, then it's okay for Jesus to have only done a lot. But if we're honest and say we've truly lost it all, we have to confess with our whole hearts that He did it all. Because of Jesus' life and especially His death, Jesus did it all. His grace goes before each and every one of us. Apart from His death and resurrection, apart from His grace, there is no capacity for human goodness. There is indeed no capacity for us to even respond to the gospel invitation. Only God's offer of grace through Jesus enlivens the possibility that we would respond to Him by faith. He did it all. I think we can be clear about this. I've not done it all. And you've not done it all. He has done it all. There are two kinds of people here today who've not done it all. One case is those of us who are not yet followers of Jesus. Whatever word you want to use. Not yet a believer, not yet saved, or not yet converted. Not yet born again. The Bible uses lots of words to describe people apart from Jesus. How do you know if you fit in that category of humanity? You know because you know you haven't believed. You know because you haven't believed. You know you haven't responded. You may have been around church some and initiated into church in some way, but you know you haven't believed. Or maybe you are uncertain. You lack the assurance that you belong to God. Friends, you know there's a promise in the Scripture. There's a promise. And I'll stand on this scriptural promise. Romans 8 tells us that God's Spirit witnesses to our spirit. That there is a way that God communicates with us. His Spirit witnesses to our spirit to let us know that we are the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, through Jesus. And friends, apart from that assurance, apart from that witness of the Spirit to your spirit, it's a good thing to have questions and wonder, have I believed or not believed? Your next step is simple. Respond to Jesus by faith. Respond to Jesus by faith. That is the Easter miracle. That the resurrection, the physical resurrection of Jesus, His body alive and out from the tomb, the physical resurrection of Jesus provides the pathway for your spiritual resurrection, a resurrection that will last forever. How do you respond to Jesus by faith? First, acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, sent by God for this specific purpose. Believe, acknowledge, and then believe that Jesus died on the cross to reconcile you to God. That by His death, He offers forgiveness and a restoration of that breached and broken relationship when we lost it all. Finally, confess that Jesus is Lord. Another promise from the Scripture, Romans 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Friends, if that is a if that is an invitation that is sparking a connection right now, no, this is your moment, friends. This is your moment where you stand on the brink between time and eternity, between death and life, between losing it all and gaining it all again through Jesus. If this is your place, or if you're at a beginning point in a life of faith, out in the narthex there, or over in the social hall, I've got several copies of this little devotional. It's a 10-day turnaround devotional. What's driving your life? If you're not certain of your connection to Jesus, or if you know you're a beginner, a newborn in the faith, this is a place for you to start. Grab one of those and let me know that you grabbed it, and we'll get you connected into a place where you can continue to grow. So the other case, the one case is those who've not yet believed. The other case is, well, there are really only two options. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. So if you belong to Jesus, if you know He did it all, He's finished His work, but maybe you know that you haven't finished your work. Because He saved you, He set you apart. But here's what the resurrected Jesus says to believers. This is Revelation chapter 3. Jesus says, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are still dead. So wake up. So wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of God." How about Jesus? That's kind of rude. I'd rather He encourage me a little bit, but He goes straight to the heart, doesn't it? There's some things. You have a reputation for being alive. So strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished. He did it all, and you haven't done it all. Our work is unfinished as the children of God. So where do we proceed on an Easter Sunday morning, believers? First, identify the place that is most unfinished in your life, the place the Holy Spirit brings to your mind and gets your attention. Yeah, you're probably already thinking about it. I was talking with a friend this week. I was telling him about a way that God had answered a prayer. And he just laughed and laughed. And he said, "You know, Scott, we have a talking God." We have a talking God, a speaking God. Sometimes we ask and He responds. And a lot of times He responds and speaks to us His truth. Even if we don't get around to asking, He'll tell us. We have a talking God, a speaking God. And if you ask Him for help to identify some unfinished business, I guarantee He'll lead your heart and your mind to a place He intends to grow you. Look around, friends. You know that many people start things and few people finish them. Many start and few finish. So make a commitment. Make a decision now. The world will tell you to keep your options open. Don't decide until you have to decide. But it's time to settle things with Jesus. That's His own witness. How do you think Jesus made it through that day on the cross, offering forgiveness and caring for others? Because He had already settled what was going to happen on the cross days before in the Garden of Gethsemane. In a night spent in prayer to the Father, a night when He wept so intensely and sweated so intensely that drops of blood physically came out of His forehead. He made a decision. He offered to the Father and said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus settled things in His heart. He made a clear decision in His mind so then He could live them out when it was painful and challenging and near to impossible. He did it all because He decided He would do it all. You can cross the line to full surrender and obedience to Jesus if you decide to respond to Him in that way. And then finally, take the next step. The next step is before you. Paul writes in Galatians, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." God will be faithful and speak to you and give you the next thing ahead of you. He might not show you the whole path. The psalmist says it this way, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path." In the ancient world, the lamp, the light, it only gave you enough light for your next one or two steps. It didn't illuminate the whole path. You didn't see the whole end. You knew, though, that God would take care of you in the one step that you could see. And that may be part of our own humility right now, our own releasing of our pride to say, we don't need to know the whole story. But Lord Jesus, give us what we need for the next step. And we'll trust that after we take that step, you'll give us what we need for the one after that. Friends, that's the life of faith. That's the life of hope. That's what the disciples of Jesus did after the resurrection. They did what he said. They went ahead of him to Galilee and they waited. They did what he said again, and they sat in the upper room in Jerusalem, and they waited for him to pour out his Spirit to give them power to be his witnesses all throughout the world, wherever they found themselves. They always took the next step. Friends, Easter is a promise. Easter is a promise. Paul writes to new believers. He says, I am confident of this, that the God who has begun a good work in you in Christ Jesus will bring it to completion. You see that? He takes on himself. God takes on himself the business of finishing your business. Because he has done it all. He's given you his life through Jesus. And he says, I swear by it, what God has begun in you, he will bring to fruitfulness. He will bring to maturity. He will bring to timeliness. And it may take until Jesus comes home. But he will do it. Why will he do it? How do we know he will do it in us? Because he did it all already. He has done it all already, and he is still doing it. He is making life possible today, and he is making life possible into the future. Friends, what's the step? What's the unfinished business that the resurrected Jesus wants to finish in you and for you today? Maybe it's that first step of faith, of believing. Maybe it's a step of being connected in a study or discipleship group here through Good Shepherd Savannah. Maybe if you're not from here, you're just visiting, you need to go home and find a place. Maybe it's knowing to wake up every day anticipating a word from God through the Scriptures. But I believe he's speaking. And I believe he's finishing. Even you who are on the edge and you don't yet believe. He's not behind you pushing you. He's on the other side drawing you by his great love and his faithfulness. But also with his insistence. He's not going to go away. He's not going to let you off. He's going to continue to draw you because that's the greatness of his love for you. That's how we know that we had it all because he wants to offer it to you again. And it'll only come to you through Jesus. Friends, as the band comes up and prepares to lead us in a final song, I'll pray for you. And you know, as we sing here at the end, you know there'll be some. We've got some prayer folks. There is even with the front row here. There's some place to pray. If you want to meet me, I'll be on this side. Rudy and Cindy LaMonica will be on this side to receive you. You can come and respond in that way, or respond to God right where you are. But know that this is the day for you to begin finishing the business that Christ has begun in you. He wants to bring it to completion and present you as whole and as completed to his Father. Let's pray together. Father, on this Easter day, we celebrate the miracle of the resurrection. We thank you that we can be resurrected ourselves, that our lives can be transformed. We can sit in your joy, and we can know your peace when we know we're walking with you and we're walking for you. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.